Heavenly Father, I thank you for this woman. I thank you for her faith over so many years. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing that you've placed on her to speak truth and grace. Lord, I thank you for the way that she has built community over so many years. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be different. We would be changed by the time we leave here because we've heard you speak to us, Heavenly Father, through Jazz. I want to ask, Lord, that you be honor, give her clarity, and we ask, Lord, you would transform us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Duncan. It is an absolute joy and delight. I remember being in Wimbledon, hearing about Jill and Duncan going off to North London. Now, you guys are Londoners, you understand that if you live the other side of the Thames, that is like, you know, it's just a whole different world, isn't it? Like if you come from the south, like I do, you don't cross the Thames to go north unless God calls you. And God called Jill and Duncan, and I remember them going. I remember all of that season really well. And the fact that I get to be here today and get to see all of your beautiful faces and be in this space is just a testament to how amazing God is, how faithful he is. You guys have done so well here. So it must be 21 years, I think we worked out earlier on. So and what Duncan didn't tell you was technically he was my youth leader. That was me telling you that he's significantly older than me. Obviously, we don't look like it. And but I did at some various stages babysit for him on a Tuesday evening. I remember it clearly. Most Tuesday evenings, there was Cameron and there was Lauren, but Maddie didn't exist in those days. But there you go. I remember those moments. Yeah, we have some history. I can tell you stories and you can pay me by bank transfer. Anyway, I'm here to talk about being sent and being sent into friendships. But before I do all of that, I want to introduce my friend Debs to you. Debbie. Now, Debbie is my friend. She's also one of my colleagues. She basically makes our church work. That's what she does. But in all of this, I've known Debbie for the last 4 years. Her character is outstanding, and she is a woman that disciples people just by talking to them. She doesn't care about their ages or their whatever. She just is able to disciple really well. And the thing that I know about Debbie is that she leans into God and she listens. And here is what she felt God say for this morning.
Well, first of all, I think you're going to need another room, aren't you? This room's too small. Honestly, I look around and go, God's got more for you, 21 years up to this point, and there is a sense that God has more. Would you agree? So, and this series, this whole community series and being sent, then you're going to invite more people in. You're going to need a bigger room. So just going to put that out there. Again, like prophetically stuff, I don't do this often, but I was praying yesterday for you guys and two names came to mind, so I'm just going to be faithful with those. Is anyone here called Hannah? No? Okay. Is anyone here called Stephen? No. That's okay. I'll save those for another day. Oh, we've got a Stephen. Okay, Stephen. It's lovely to meet you. As I was just praying yesterday, your name came to mind. And what I saw in my mind was you slice through a tree and what do you see? All the rings. So many rings were within this cutting. And there were periods of, you can tell a tree's life by its rings and how tightly they're packed or how wide they are, how much water it's received, how dehydrated it's been, the life that tree has lived. And As I was just waiting on that, there's the verses that come to mind was Isaiah 63. And I'll just read out the few verses that are there. And it says this, and provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And the bit out of those verses that really stuck with me and your name, Stephen, I don't know if you're a Steve, that might be a bit too informal, is that you are a display of his splendor and that he would like to remind you of that today, that you are called his son, you are known to him, and that you display his splendor. And to he will continue to sing over you, he continues to delight in you, and he continues to do his work through you. And there's been periods of your life where you have felt dehydrated, where the Lord has not been so present in times where it's been really fruitful. But as an oak of righteousness, you are just displaying his splendor. So Lord, I just want to pray for Stephen. We thank you for him. We thank you for his life. We thank you that you have treasured him in all his years. And Father, that he is a testimony to your goodness and your faithfulness. And Father, we just thank you that you see him this morning, and that you delight in him, and that we see his splendor through you. And Father, and likewise. So yeah, Father, we just recommission Stephen to go out from today to continue to display that splendor of the Lord in greater measure. Amen.
Thank you, Debbie. If the name Hannah means anything to you, maybe you've got middle name Hannah, a child called Hannah, do you know it's worth seeking Debbie out afterwards, because she's got a prophetic word, and I don't believe that she doesn't hear from God. I know that she does. So do come and speak to Debbie and let her know and encourage her. So we are being sent to build friendship. Let's have a look. I know, but you know, just even as Debbie said, looking in this room, your room is already getting, you know, full. You need, and we're going to invite more people. I mean, if every single one of you in this next year invited one more person to church and they got saved and they got added, you would not be able to be in this room. But that's kind of exciting, isn't it? And I also think that if you then repeated it the following year, you'd be four times the size in 2 years' time, which basically is four church plants, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, that's exciting, isn't it? And that all it is you reaching out to one friend and inviting them along. So I'm in Mark 2 today, and I'm going to read that out to you. It's a story that's super familiar to us. And the problem is, when we have a story that's super familiar, we think, oh, yeah, we know what it's saying. We already get it. So actually, I'm just going to ask you just to, you know, freshen your mind, go, Holy Spirit, just speak to me afresh through this story today. So this is Jesus. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowds, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, Son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. It's cool. I'm not going to spend a long time exegeting that whole passage, but what I am going to do is just put it into a little bit of context for you. Jesus had come home. Likely he was at Simon's house, and even without social media and advertising, people knew that he was home. The crowds had gathered in. He'd become known as a doer of miracles and as a teacher. So wherever he went, people followed him. And a large crowd filled this home and spilled outside the door. And you know what? Jesus just takes the opportunity and begins to preach to them. Like, here's a crowd. I'm going to preach. Except that when he is preaching, the roof begins to fall apart above them. Like, I can't even imagine what that moment must have been like. utterly distracting. Like, I get to preach often. If the roof suddenly, you know, started falling, we'd all be running around and that would be the end of the message, wouldn't it? That would be over. And yet what we find is this. Here are four men with a deep enough love for their paralyzed friend who find a resourceful way of getting to Jesus. They'd heard of the fame of Jesus. They knew his work. But they also knew that it was the only way to get their friend healed. You know, in those days, it wasn't that the friend had like social security or PIP to be able to rely on or any of those sorts of things. There was no funding. Any help that this friend got was from people who bothered to care about him. This paralyzed man got people who bothered to care about him. He was reliant on the people that he knew. And I love this part of the story because we don't know what the relationship was like between this paralyzed man and his four friends, whether they were related or not. But the relationship was strong enough that they were willing to take a hold of him, take a hold of his mat, and crazy enough to take the roof off of somebody's house to damage it. There was enough love in this relationship, there was enough crazy in this relationship, and there was enough compassion in this relationship, and enough faith that they would take the risk. It's mad, isn't it? Yeah. And I leave that there, I hang it there for you, because I'm like, while I'm talking, I want you to be thinking about your friendships, the people that you know that don't know Jesus yet. Those people that you're invested in, how much love, how much compassion, how much are you willing to risk for them to get to know Jesus? And so we know the end of the story. We know there's this exchange that happens. You know, the first thing that Jesus does is offer the man forgiveness, which isn't really what you think he'd be looking for. After all, this is a man that's arrived, obviously not able to walk. Surely the thing that he needs is healing. But no, the thing that Jesus does is deal with the condition of his heart first, which is the forgiveness, which many of us in this room know. We know the forgiveness of Jesus. We know that love. And then, of course, to poke at all of the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law that are there, who are all like judging Jesus, he pokes them and he says, look, I can forgive sins. I can also heal. The man is healed and he walks out rejoicing. That is cool. That's cool. Yeah. So Jesus is beginning to reveal who he really is. He is the Son of God. He is God. That's who he's beginning. He can forgive sins. That's the thing that only God can do. But I really want to focus on these four friends. This is a story where Jesus reveals our greatest need, which isn't physical, but it is the forgiveness of our sins. That's the reality. And that is our standing and that is our identity. When we walk around, no matter how we are feeling, no matter what is going on our head, the reality is that our position is that we are forgiven children of God. I need an amen for that. We are a forgiven children of God. That's who we are. That is our identity. You are allowed to heckle me. I'm good with the heckling. And you're allowed to nod and agree and you're allowed to shout out the odd amen. And that is who we are. Jesus has paid the price for us. And no matter how weak we feel, and no matter how unsure we feel about it, our debt has been cleared up forever. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Duncan. You're listening. I'll give you a gold. Yeah, you are. You are. I often talk about the being best friend that you can ever be. And I really believe that people are one to Jesus through authentic and real friendships, one life at a time. We are made to be in relationship with one another. And connecting with others is literally an opportunity to help people encounter the love of Jesus. That's what happens. Each relationship that you currently have has the potential for you to be a mat-carrying, roof-destroying introducer to Jesus. And I love the fact that there are four friends here, which speaks of family. We carry one another. We carry people together. You might have a friend that connects to another friend that connects to another friend, and between you, you all bring them in into a relationship with Jesus, although it's God that does the saving, not you. It is challenging to be a friend, especially in an area which can be quite transient. I love London. London is in my heart. I lived in London all of my life until 4 years ago when I moved to Kent. And I understand that people move on quickly. I get that. People stay in a job for a couple of years and they move up and they look to progress and they might change area. And, you know, officially, what is this area called?
Collingdale.
Right. So you live in Collingdale, you work around here or whatever, that's cool. But if someone dares moves like 20 minutes down the road to Barnet?
Kilburn. Wembley.
Yeah. Yeah, that's effort right there, isn't it? That's effort because they've moved to another location, although it's not really that far. And I get people move. And maybe you expect really good friendships and deep friendships to develop over many, many years, and so you've got lots of shared history. Well, how do you get past that if you're now in a place where you didn't grow up here, where you haven't got loads of shared memories, where there is no history? Because people come in for a couple of years and they come out of your life. What it means is that you have to get super creative. The four men in the story got super creative. And I am not encouraging anybody here to take off somebody's roof, just to be clear. But we can ask God where he wants us to take the roof off and what we can do to build connection. You are a sent people. You know that, don't you? You are sent. You are sent to your workplaces. You are sent to your neighbourhoods. You are sent to the gyms and the clubs and the societies that you belong to. You are sent to the place where you do your park run. You're sent to all of those spaces. Not one of us is called to be a hermit and live in isolation. We have to live out our lives in connection to others. Now, before you all start panicking here, let me say, you don't have to be an extrovert. I fully appreciate that I am an extrovert. I am out there and I will talk to anybody. But to be a good friend doesn't mean you've got to host massive dinner parties or be the life and soul of every gathering. God takes all of our unique personalities, whatever our personality type is, and uses us exactly as we are. That's just a relief, isn't it? You have not got to change your personality type to be a better friend. If you're an introvert, you might be the friend who has deep one-on-one conversations with people over coffee. Or you might be the person who notices when someone's struggling and sends them a thoughtful text. You might prefer walking side by side with someone rather than sitting face to face. And that is just as powerful. Your gifts, your talents, your personality, the way that you are created, is created for connection with other people who connect in a similar way. If you're an extrovert here, you might be the one who gathers people together, who creates a space where connections can happen, and you might be brilliant at making people feel included and welcome. Some of you here right now are gifted with that thing of hospitality. Your home is that natural gathering place. Others of you might never host anything, but you're always the one that shows up. You show up when people need practical help. You build friendships through shared activities. You're brilliant at inviting friends along to the things that you're already doing. Others of you build friendships through conversation and through listening. The point is that there are four friends in this story. And I guarantee you that all four of them had different personalities, but they worked together. Maybe one was the organizer who said, right, we're doing this today. Maybe one was the practical one who figured out how to do the logistics. Maybe one was the encourager who kept everybody's spirits up. Maybe one was just quiet and determined and just carried his corner of the map. I'm not asking you to be someone that you're not. You just need to be willing to be the way that God made you the way you are. And the people that he's placed in your path need you to be the person that you are called to be. I didn't want to use the word Trinity because you're called Trinity. But the Trinity is a relationship of three. It's of a relationship of mutual preferring and admiration of one another. That's what needs to be reflected in the church and offered to all those whom we meet on a regular enough basis that they have the potential to be our friend. I'm ever so sorry, I've forgotten your name. Michelle. Michelle's been chatting to us as we came in. It was just a beautiful moment. She sat and she was telling us about the chap that every week makes cake. And Amin. Is Amin here? He's not here. And just the thoughtfulness and the consideration of making cake each week and taking the time and trouble to write out the list of ingredients in there. That is absolutely mind-blowing and the sheer gift of hospitality. Yeah. You might not be going into Amin's house week in, week out to eat his cake, but it's like, this is what I've got. This is what I can bring. Maybe you are.
No.
And this is what I've got. This is what I can bring. And I'm going to share this love with other people. And Michelle was bigging Amin up. She was totally bigging him up. And that is like the mutual admiration and preferring. Like when I talk to Michelle, I know that she is going to speak well of other people. That's who I want for my friend. Be those people that speak well of other people, because people will just want to be your friend.
Yeah.
Full stop. Just throw that out there. Full stop. And I often talk about, I'm just going to throw this out, I wasn't going to say it today. I often talk about red events, amber events, and green events. And for me, the way that I explain that is that we are all called to connect with people. And I talk about red events being events where stop, you're not talking about Jesus necessarily, unless somebody asks you. But it's a kind of gathering place, a touch point. So for me, red events can be these huge, great, big, I used to do massive fundraisers for local charities. They were red events. The church put them on, but people came into our space. We didn't necessarily preach the gospel. But then amber events, red events can be everything from huge, great, big events to one-on-one coffees, or a drink with a colleague after work. Red events are those where you're just bringing the connection, you're inviting people into your life and into your space. Amber events are what I call the socially acceptable mentions of church. So you can invite people to things like a Mothering Sunday service if you do such a thing. Your fireworks event is a red event. And you can do things like, the amber event will be like a Mothering Sunday, or maybe dedications. Dedications are great amber events. You're dedicating a baby, you invite friends and family, they get to see church, they expect some singing, they expect some praying because they've got enough of that about them, but you're not making an appeal. Other people might call it a seeker-friendly service. Then you have the green event. Now, green, I don't really put a lot of effort into green events. I put more effort into red things and amber things than I would a green event, because every Sunday morning is legitimately a green event. If someone has come in, green, go with the gospel, so go for green, go. Come in and they're literally asking, they've come in, they've arrived, they're already seeking. You can preach the gospel. Alpha is a green event. You've got an Alpha coming up in January. A healing service, if you do such a thing, would be a green event. So you got how I talk about these things, red, amber, green. I want to tell you about my friends Mick and Elaine. There should be a picture of them coming up. And I'm going to take some time to tell the story about Mick and Elaine. When Tim and I first got married, we moved into the middle of a local council estate in Croydon. So I worked for the church in Croydon for about 23 years before I moved to Ashford. Sorry? Yeah, that's it, Mick and Elaine. And when Tim and I first got married back in 2000, we moved right into the middle of a council estate. And that's where the church was serving, this particular council estate. And Tim and I looked around to decide who we could befriend. Now, we were young, but we realised that there was this woman called Elaine, who was about 30 years older than us. But everybody knew Elaine. They all knew her. She was like a gatekeeper of the community of this estate. And so we knew that we wanted to be her friend and her husband, Mick. And so we deliberately invited them to all the different social things that we were doing. Whatever we were doing, we would invite them. And over the years, we celebrated birthdays together. They spent Christmases with us. We went to Christmas at their place. And we have nothing in common with them except this. They really loved the estate. And God put us there, and we really loved the estate. So when she wanted to set up a residents association, we supported her, not just me and Tim, the whole church, we all got involved. And when she wanted community fun days, we supported her. It wasn't the church saying, we're going to do a fun day. It was the residents association. It was Elaine, really. I want to do a fun day for this community. So we would just get alongside her and support her. And in the first 10 years that we were friends with them, she came to church twice. Once when my husband came into eldership and she thought that was important, so she needed to go and find out what that was about. And again, when another mutual friend was preaching for the very first time and she thought, oh, I better go and support him. I don't know what she made of church. I think she probably thought it was a bit weird because she didn't really ask to come. And then after about, I don't know, I've lost the timeline, 7 or 8 years of this friendship, and it went on like this, she got really sick, really, really sick. So sick that she became agoraphobic and couldn't leave her home. And so she only lived around the corner, and I used to go and visit her, and I said, what would you like me, what can I do? And she just said, I like to craft, can we craft? So every Wednesday afternoon, I would drive round to her house, I would pick her up, drive 2 minutes to the community centre, and there, another two or three ladies from the church, and the four or five of us every week would craft. Except they were all ladies from the church. They were helping me carry a mat at that precise moment in time. They would talk about the different things that the church was doing. And she would hear all about it. So she'd know people in the church without ever having met them, because we talked about them in an appropriate, healthy, admiring kind of way. And but she'd hear all about New Day. I used to be really involved in New Day. You know what New Day is, yeah? Yeah. So I used to be really involved in New Day, and she would, like, hear all about New Day, and I would all be making things for New Day. So this whole craft club that I created was really just to help me create things for New Day. And she'd hear all about that. About 4 years go by of this, and suddenly one day she says to me, Jazz, I think I'd like to try church on Sunday. And I'm like, okay. Not really knowing how to respond to that. Would you like me to pick you up? No, Mick will bring me. And so she brings Mick. They turn up on Sunday, except that Mick can't walk. He's hurt his back. And he's walked in, or he's not walked in, he's dragged himself in. And they sit on the front row. And during the morning, there's a word of knowledge about a bad back. And my son is next to him and goes, Mick, that's you, you've got a bad back. Mick didn't know what to do. Like, he's in a church. He doesn't know that everybody gathers around you and prays over you. And, but yeah, loads of people gathered around him and prayed over him. He was instantly healed. So healed that he was completely freaked out. Absolutely freaked. He did not know what to make of it. And he was walking around going, don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. And they left church. All week, every time he met somebody, he'd tell everybody about the church. And then he would go, it's really spooky there. It's really spooky. Do you know what? It's the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. He just didn't have the word. He didn't have the language. He didn't understand that the Holy Spirit is supernatural. And so he came back to church the following week. And the week after, him and his wife, they kept coming back. It went on for a few more weeks like this. And I'm like, come on. Come on, God. And then, so this is probably May time. Then we're in October. And Elaine sat in her room, and this is what she says to Jesus. Jesus, I've been using your facilities for quite a while now. I think I would like to get on your bus. And that was her prayer of commitment. Isn't that beautiful? The next day that I picked her up, and she was so full of it, her first words to me were, because she'd rung me and told me, her first words were, Jazz, it's like I've been born all over again. I know. I hadn't even told her that she'd been born again. But she understood. Because the Holy Spirit is beautiful. And then she's like, I had a Bible for her. But she goes, Jazz, I've sent Mick out for a Bible. It's a pink one. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, right, that thing that you do in your house on Wednesday nights, which is life group, she's like, can I come to that? And I'm like, yeah, you can come to that. And then she went, that money thing, how do I do that giving money thing? You know someone's saved at that point, right? And she was so full of it, so full of it. It was beautiful, beautiful, the complete transformation. And as I was thanking God later on that day, I realized this, that actually, no, it wasn't just me, it wasn't just him. It was the whole church was involved in discipling Elaine. Everybody was involved. And they were all carrying the mat at the same time. And they were all shaping her, because the point where she came to faith, all the things that we'd been teaching her, all the things that she'd observed in our lives suddenly made sense. Yes, you read your Bible. Yes, you pray. Yes, you go along to life group. Yes, you give your money. Of course, because you're giving to God. Well said this morning. Of course, because you're giving to God. You're not giving to a charity. You're not partnering with an organization. You're giving to God all that he's given you anyway. It's his anyway. And so that was beautiful. And then a few weeks later, Mick was in the service and there was a word of knowledge. And so he responded and he got on the plane. And I share that story, and I take a lot of time to share that story, because there's lots of hooks in that story. Lots of things that I think, as you've been sitting there, you go, oh yeah, I've got a friend like that. Oh yeah, I do that club with such and such. Oh, I do that with somebody else. Oh, I am discipling and I am seeing fruit in someone's life just by being their friend. And not long after that, Tim and I felt that we needed to go and we moved house, we moved to another bit of Croydon, and we did a similar work again. But we left McKinney Lane there on the estate. We literally handed the estate to them and just said, this is yours. You now need to run with whatever God's given you. And obviously, we were still friends for a long time. And towards the end of COVID, Elaine died. And she was in the hospital. We weren't allowed to visit her. And she said the whole week, we spoke to her on the phone, she just was like, I'm off to see my mate Jesus. It's okay. I'm off to see my mate Jesus. And a few weeks after that, Mick also died. And we're incredibly sad and incredibly difficult time. But I like that story because there's a beginning, a middle and an end. Yeah. And I remember when Mick came to know Jesus, he was weeping. He's like, how have I missed out on all these years of knowing the love of the Father? He was weeping, absolutely weeping. Just it was beautiful to see. And they both just threw themselves into loving Jesus for the last few years of their lives. Maybe living in London, you don't have people around for 20 years. Some of you do. But there are people that you would, who would love, that you know, who would love to be invited out doing whatever you are doing. Whether it's a meal out, whether it's drinks, Sunday lunch around a table, a walk in the park, a gym buddy, or inviting them to fireworks at the end of October. In the time that you have with people, in whatever space of time you have, my challenge to you is this. Are you able to love them with the same radical love that these men who lifted up a man and broke a roof demonstrated? Do you have that capacity to love people? You do have it. But it's hard when people in love. It's hard when people leave. But in the economy of God, loving people, even if it's for a short time, is never wasted. It's an opportunity to disciple people and point people to the way of Jesus. I told a story that was really, really old, and I want to very briefly share another story from you, which is really live and right today. Where I am in Ashford, we've got a cafe. And the first week I was there, I met a girl and I started talking to her. I've struggled in Ashford. I've struggled because it's very different to London. Although it's only an hour away, it's very different to London. And I've had to learn a whole new culture and a whole new way of living. But the first week I was in the cafe, there was a girl there with a little baby. And she was London. Like, you could tell London. And so I just chatted to her, and I ended up becoming friends with her. She comes into the cafe most weeks. She brought some friends with her. We've got a toddler, parents and toddler thing, or carers and toddler thing. She comes to that. She's gotten to know lots of the staff, lots of the team. And a few weeks ago, I invited these three women. We've been chatting for a long time. Said, oh, do you want to come round to my house for pizza? So they came round a couple of weeks ago on a Friday night for pizza. And we just chatted. We'd had some Prosecco. And again, halfway through the evening, we sat outside and she said, one of the girls said, oh, about mediums and spiritual things. And I'm like, I'm not having that. It's my house. It's my house. Not having that in my house. I got a bit belligerent about it. I went, I can tell you about the Holy Spirit. And so I began to tell them about God and prophesied over them, had the opportunity to prophesy over all three of them. Literally, the whole evening changed. Sunday morning, the three women and their partners and all of their children were in church. I know. And we had Phil Wilthew coming to speak that day. And he prophesied over one of these women who has got no idea that that's what happens, but that's what happened. And then they came. Last Sunday, I wasn't at our church. And they came back. I wasn't even there. They're texting me. They've sent me this playlist that they've got. It's all Hillsong. It's Brandon Lake. It's like, oh, and they're like, Jess, what's happened to our algorithm? And then she's watching YouTube. One of the girls is watching YouTube. And she goes, Jazz, I know that I've got to give Jesus control, but I don't know how to do that. I do. And but anyway, and then one of the beautiful things was just that she says, Jazz, I was watching this YouTube video about how God changes people and changes their mindset and how things begin to change. She goes, the other day, this woman, I was at the counter paying for something, and this woman gave me a change for a £10 note. But I still had the £10 note in my hand. She goes, before I started coming to church, I'd have pocketed that £10 note and slipped it back in. And, you know, that's great, winner. She goes, I couldn't do it. I had to give the woman the £10 note. And I love that. I love the fact that God brings conviction and then an opportunity to actually, you know, show, demonstrate something. It was absolutely beautiful. So on Thursday, I was talking to two of the women. And the other woman was saying, just since my husband's been along, her partner's been along, she says he's always in the pub, always drinking, easily led. He goes, he's not been to the pub for 2 weeks. He's a different person. And then she said, Jazz, he stopped listening to Kerrang radio all day long. He's got Christian radio on. And on Thursday afternoon, sat outside in our playground, I got the opportunity to pray with them as they invited Jesus into their lives. Isn't that cool? It is cool. But I share those stories not to say, oh, look how great I am. I'm great at being able to, I put myself out there all the time. I've got plenty of stories of people who have said no, trust me. However, I share those stories because I want you to know that actually it's just building connection. One life at a time, one person at a time. I'm not asking you to speak to thousands of people, just your colleague at work, just your person at college, just someone that you, your neighbour, maybe the same person that you see at the bus stop every single day. And even when you're there, you can say, Holy Spirit, have you got something for this person? Is there a word that I need to bring, a word of encouragement? Can I take it from nice day or don't like it's raining to something else? Can I invite them to fireworks? Can I invite them to carols? Carols is such an easy win. Can I invite them to Alpha? That's it. It's not so hard when I put it like that, is it? No. So what I'm going to do now is I would love to pray for people. I'm just checking that I've actually finished what I was going to say. Yes. I'm going to pray for us now. And I think Duncan started the morning with something that he identified, which I think we all agree with, that whole thing of loneliness. There are countless people living around you who are desperately lonely. And they desperately want to be invited to something. They just don't even know they want to be invited to something. And what I want you to have is the eyes to see that. To see behind the presentation of what people say and look like. They present really, really well. But actually there's something going on that we want you to see. And I want you guys to be the most ridiculously friendly people where you invite, when people come in, that actually you speak so well of them that, like, I'm in awe of Armin and I've not met him. because someone told me how great he is. Is that cool? Cool. Let's just stand. Let's just stand, if you're able, sorry, I should say. Just stand, if you're able and willing. Just posture yourself in the best way that you can to receive from God. Let's just see what he wants to do. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you sweep across this room right now. Holy Spirit, come and rest on individuals. First of all, if there is someone that you are desperate to see Jesus come into their lives, can you just mention them before God? Just mention them now. Just one person. I'm not asking you to list every family member or every neighbour, but that one person that the Holy Spirit is highlighting now. Father, I pray for every single name that has just been mentioned. And I ask that for every name, that would be a person that becomes part of the local church, is saved and is added. That you would do that. And Father, I want to pray for every single person here this morning. Every person that wants to step into more of this, to know that they are sent to build friendship. That Father, you would do something so deep and profound this morning that people would literally know that there's like this extra tool in their belt of I am a friend maker. I know how to include people in my world. I know how to invite people. I know how to walk side by side with someone. That you would do something so profound this morning. It's like a sharpening coming on you. And that sharpening is not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. It's like an edge of wisdom and an edge of the prophetic that is coming over you guys, so that when you speak to people, you'll have that prophetic word, that now word that sits in the hearts and minds of people, that you'll know exactly when to lean in and to invite. You'll know exactly when to lean in and bring that word of encouragement. You'll know when to share your testimony. It's like wisdom. It's Holy Spirit wisdom. It's wisdom that comes entirely from God. And so, Father, I pray for this church that it would be that this time next year it would have doubled and there'd be a new site. That, Father, these guys would be talking about multiple church plants. So, Holy Spirit, come. I pray, let this church be a church that is characterized by beautiful friendships, outstanding friendships. And Father, I pray that as people go into work this week, that their colleagues would say of them, oh my goodness, how the peace that person that you carry, how well you speak of other people, how you refuse to partake in gossip, how you refuse to do people down, but choose to elevate other people above yourself. Father, I pray that every single person here would know extraordinary favor in their friendships, in their current friendships. And that, Father, it would be easy to invite people to fireworks, to carols, to Alpha. And then it would be easy, Father, for people to be saved and added. Amen.